Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, I hope it's been a wonderful day for you and a wonderful week for you, and that you have some means of celebrating what love is all about on this 14th of the month. This is Valentine's Day. If you don't know that, then you haven't been paying attention, gentlemen. I'm sure the ladies out there know that it's Valentine's Day, but Valentine's Day is not just a ladies' thing. It is a great time for men to demonstrate what it is to love. And folks, love comes from God. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that thinks love is all about self-gratification. It's about serving oneself and getting whatever feels good to me. And unfortunately, it involves, for many people, treating other people in a very selfish way. That's the opposite of what real love is about. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is patient and kind and not envious. And in fact, part of the list is it says it doesn't insist on its own way. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrongs. I have with me in the studio the love of my life, and I am so grateful for God having blessed me with a wonderful helpmeet who, as I often say, is not perfect, but we're perfect for each other. And I'm very thankful to be married to Susan. Susan, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for coming down to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Susan, you remember when I met you, and actually you don't. You remember the next week when I met you again. And I have shared in various venues how the first time I met Susan, she had just shared a testimony of God's work in her life and in her family. And I was so impressed and really wanted to get to know her better. And I introduced myself, and she met a lot of people that night. I made zero impression. But the next week, I had the privilege of teaching the Bible study, and God used that message to answer some questions she'd been wrestling with that very day. And so I happily made a positive impression on her, and we began to get to know each other after that. But when we first met, you had to rescue me. One of the reasons that God gave me such a wonderful wife is because I needed a lot of help. And you had to rescue me because I called you up to ask you to a movie. And instead of saying, would you like to go with me to a movie, I stupidly said, the movie Three Musketeers is showing in Asheville. Have you seen it? And you said,
yes.
At which point I was sunk. I didn't have a next line. You see, I had imagined this conversation. I thought I would say, the movie Three Musketeers is showing in Asheville. Have you seen it? She'd say, no. I'd say, well, I'd like to take you. She'd say, I'd love to. That was the way it was supposed to go down. And instead, I said, have you seen it? And she said, yes.
And then there was dead silence.
That's exactly right.
So
I didn't have an next line.
I could tell that this conversation was going nowhere, so I jumped in and said, but I'd love to see it again.
Praise the Lord. That's what she's been doing for me ever since. Folks, ever since, she has been coming to my aid, coming to my rescue, helping me time and again. So I am very, very thankful she's here in the studio with me today so that I can try to speak somewhat knowledgeably about love and about romance.
Yes.
Now, Susan, tell me, what would you say are three things that have helped keep the romance in our marriage?
Well, three things. I would say the fact that I come first in your life. Obviously, Jesus is your life, but thank God for that, because he prides you to remember that your primary responsibility is to take care of me. And I've always known that.
Praise God.
And I still believe that to this day. No matter how busy you are, if I'm having a crisis, I take precedence, and I love that.
Praise God.
And that certainly kept the romance going. And as you said to me the other day, the fact that I was rising to the occasion finally and cooking several meals in a row that were some of your favorites.
Yes.
Just because I wanted to show that I love you, that really helped you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of the things that I always bring up, and I'm sure I've brought it up before on this radio broadcast, that I had to learn. I learned it growing up. I've seen it all my life now, is that the thing that a man craves the most is respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind as my primary responsibility, is that I'm supposed to show respect for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, it's fairly easy because there are so many things about you to respect.
Bless you.
But I remember thinking to myself before I ever met you how unlikely it would be that I would get married, because I couldn't imagine having a person who I would value so much that I would want them to make the decision and be the one who takes the responsibility of making final decisions. And one of the things, you asked me for three things.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that's helped me a lot, being the kind of person I am in our marriage, is that while you take that responsibility seriously, you often want my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I do struggle big time with the fact that I will put a lot of time and effort into coming up with what I think the answer should be and why I think it should be. And I get very disturbed if all you do is take that into account and make a different decision. But at the same time, I do appreciate the fact that what I want is valued, and more often than not, you choose to go with what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not a moral issue, it's the color of the fabric or something like that. But we like to make those decisions together.
Mm-hmm.
But I always defer to you.
Praise God.
A man's home is his castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there to try to make it as inviting as possible so that you'll want to hang out there and be with me.
Well, and it's been a joy to see how, no matter where we've lived, and we've lived in a number of different places over the years, but you have always worked to make our home a very lovely, peaceful refuge. That has certainly helped, from my perspective, in keeping romance alive.
I want to say that the first thing that came to my mind when you asked me to do this discussion of Valentine's Day again, the picture that pops into my mind is of this white-haired, 80-something-year-old man sitting in his recliner in his place in the living room, and his precious little wife, who's 4 years younger than he is, but still in her 80s, walking by, and his reaching out and grabbing her arm and pulling her into his lap.
Yes.
And giving her a big kiss. And as I'm getting older right now, and those kinds of things just don't occur to me as often, to give a hug or a kiss or any of that, because I'm getting older,
mm-hmm.
and my desires are changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that, and it warms my soul.
Yeah.
And it gives me hope for the future.
Yeah.
Because he was such an affectionate man. And affection is an extremely important part, not only for a husband and wife, but for children.
Yeah.
People don't understand how much reaching out and touching someone really does physically, emotionally, spiritually affect them.
That's right.
And if it's somebody you care about what they think about you,
mm-hmm.
It means the world when that happens.
Amen. Who was that old man?
That old man was your dad, who's now, much to everyone's shock and amazement, been in heaven for 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's just amazing, because he still feels like he's there.
Yeah.
He still feels like he's with us. He had such a powerful influence, not because he was so brilliant, though he was. The number one thing about him that just made him amazing is that he had this very deep voice, was very masculine, but extremely affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
Tears came to his eyes readily.
Mm-hmm.
And he really cared about people.
Yes.
He never tried to pretend that he was Mr. Macho Man and nothing affected him. Everything affected him.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that about him.
Yeah. Very loving person. Genuinely loving. Not only the physical affection that you speak of, but his compassion for people, his generosity toward people, his investment of time in people, his listening ear that he gave to people.
And he was a man who began to lose his mind as he got old. And the thing that stuck out so much to me, having spent a lot of time around old people, was instead of becoming an old curmudgeon and being negative about everything because his bones hurt and he could hardly get up and just always having a complaint, the man, every meal he sat down to was the best meal he had ever had.
Yes.
Every time he had to go on an errand in a car and someone else was driving, they were the best driver he had ever been with.
Yes.
And when he told stories to our sons and was completely living in his childhood again, didn't know really who they were, but they seemed like they must be his friends, it was always affectionate,
positive,
complimentary things.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing to get a little window on his life and see that when he was being babysat by his 12-year-old grandson, because he often didn't know where he was, that he was telling his 12-year-old what he thought was his friend. We found this out after the fact because he immediately started saying to our grandson, "Your father is the finest, one of the finest men I've ever met. He's just so wonderful. He really cares about people." And he went on and on lavishing compliments. And the grandson was thinking, that is an amazing thing to hear a man say about his own son to his grandson. And then all of a sudden he leaned forward in his chair and said, "Yes, I believe he is the best fire marshal Statesville's ever had." And of course we got great laughter out of him. But the thing that that just endeared him to me so much is that you could tell his whole life from the time he really gave his life to Christ was focused on loving people.
Yeah.
Finding the good in people.
Yes.
Complimenting people, respecting people. And I just wish that I could be more like him, as he was so much like Jesus.
Amen. Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. The thing that made him so endearing, so remarkable, so unusual, was that he was so much like Jesus. It was the love of God that was emanating through him. And that is what we aim for. Folks, if you want to know what real love is all about, you find it most of all, you find it perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the evidence that God is love.
And so it's not just about couples when we talk about Valentine's Day. Some of our very best friends have been single their whole lives. And they're our age. And they've been single. The thing that sets them apart in our hearts and our minds is how much they do what the Bible teaches about what when God calls you to be single. You love other people. You make sacrifices for other people. You encourage other people. And that's what they tend to do. And I love that about them.
Amen. Amen. And folks, that's one of the things we're working very hard to try and teach the children here at the ranch. We want them to understand that despite the things they've been through, despite the fact that many of them have experienced horrible abuse in homes where the people were their kin but didn't exemplify love at all, we want them to know that despite all of that pain, there is a God who is love, whose love is holy and pure, unselfish, sacrificial. And God loved us so much that he sent his son to save us.
And if you have children right now, you're a father or you're a mother, I want to just remind you that the best thing you can do for those children for Valentine's Day is not to give them chocolate and hearts, which is fine. Good thing to do, prepare a nice meal. But the best thing you can do is show love for your spouse. That's what children crave the most, is to see the kind of love that Jesus tells us we're to have. If we marry, we've made a vow. And that vow includes showing respect, being, as if you're a husband, a protector and a provider, and offering those words of encouragement that mean more than anything you can do.
Yeah. Well, and two, let me say, because I know many folks out there are heartbroken about the fact that their marriage did not turn out the way that they had hoped. They wanted a storybook ending, and instead they got divorce papers, or they got abandoned, or perhaps even met with death. And now they're a single parent and trying hard to teach their kids the truth. Folks, go to the scriptures. Help your kids understand that the storybook may seem unrealistic, but God's story is true. And God's plan for a husband and a wife to be married till death do us part, that is real. And that is achievable by God's grace. You can live that story. Now, is it possible that you seek to do what God wants and your mate makes it impossible? Yes, that does happen sometimes.
That's called sharing in the sufferings of Christ, though.
That's right.
When I think about how he poured out his life for me and the way that I often still treat him after knowing him all this time, it's just amazing. And we all get those opportunities to share in his sufferings. And if we embrace them, it will make us much better people.
Amen. But if you are struggling in a situation where you feel like, I want my children to have hope that they can marry and have a good marriage, but I'm not able to show them what that looks like in my home because my marriage did not go that way. I want you to point your children to the scriptures and show them that this marriage thing is not the creation or invention of man or of society. Marriage was God's idea. Take them all the way back to the beginning in Genesis and see that God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And God did so. That's God's plan. And when Jesus was asked about divorce, he didn't say, well, you know, sometimes things don't work out. He said, God's plan from the beginning was that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So Jesus again reiterated God's divine plan. We live in a culture where that plan is being edited, shall we say. It's being changed. People are abandoning, many of them, what God says and seeking to reinvent marriage, whether it's same-sex marriage or whether it's serial marriage, where it's one relationship after another relationship after another. I actually was asked to be a soloist in a wedding where the preacher said, and I had no idea he was going to say this or I wouldn't have agreed to sing in the wedding, but the preacher said, as he led the couple in their vows, as long as our love shall last. And I wanted to throw up and run out of the sanctuary. I couldn't believe it. Here, this guy was performing a wedding for his own daughter to marry another man, and he leads her in the vows, and the vows are, as long as our love shall last. That is totally bogus. That is contrary to Scripture. God says that love is sacrificial. And you are committed to this relationship till death do us part. Are there grounds for divorce ever? Yes, there are some situations where there's grounds for divorce. But folks, we live in a culture where people are all too quick to run away when the going gets tough. And I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with this, if you've got questions about it, we have resources we'd be glad to share with you. We'd be glad to pray with you, counsel with you. Don't feel like you've got to try and make this on your own. There are people who will stand with you and pray with you in the midst of your struggle. You can contact us by calling 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. We'd be glad to talk to you. You can email us. Go to the ranch's website, wvr.org. Click on the link there. We'd be glad to take your emails. But I want you to know, God will come and meet with you in your hour of need. God will be there for you. He's the one who created us, male and female. He's the one who invented love between man and wife as a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so there have been times when Susan and I have, let's just say, not appreciated each other the way that we should. And in those times, the thing that has gotten us through is that we could go to the Lord. Susan could turn to the Lord and say, help me to respond to my husband the way that I should. I could go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to explain this to her. Would you please talk to her? And God does. God speaks to his children, and his children hear his voice and follow him. We're the sheep that hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. So please understand, you're not in this thing on your own.
And I've lived long enough now to appreciate the fact that the problems in my life are not my husband and my children and my friends and other relatives. The problems in my life pertain to me and the fact that I was born a sinner and I had to be saved by grace. But I'm finally reaching the point in my life where I keep turning inward and saying, what in the world is going on in there? And I'm more grateful than ever that my home and my family is eternal.
Amen.
And that all of this is going to pass away.
Yes.
And that God is alive right now and involved in my life, and He does care about me.
Praise God.
And that He's still changing me.
Yes.
He's still changing me till the day I die.
Amen.
And walk into His presence.
Amen.
And that is going to be such joy. And the older you get, I guess the more you start looking, at least in my case, to the fact that I'm an eternal being. I'm not here for personal satisfaction today.
Yes. Well, and I think if folks understand that, if they can gain an eternal perspective and begin to see things in the light of eternity, then the difficulties that we go through, the suffering that we experience, and everybody experiences suffering, the suffering that we go through is understood as a temporary problem. It's not our defining identity. It is a temporary problem. And God is bigger than that problem, infinitely bigger than that problem. And we can get our eyes focused on Him and again move back into worship, the worship of God, and not be distracted by the things of this life.
The people I've learned to appreciate the most in the whole world are the ones who have been given a really tough life, like our son Paul, who spent his life in a wheelchair and has gone through many, many surgeries. People like Johnny Erickson Tada. People who don't experience Valentine's Day in the way that we all dream for it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they have deeper joy than I have most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if the deeper you've had to go into suffering, like Corrie ten Boom and other people like that, the more, and your father, people like that, they just exude the grace and love and peace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to be around them. And so often it's the people that we, I guess, in some cases, it's people that have been prayed for so much by so many people, many of whom don't even understand what the person's going through, but they pray for them.
Yes.
And there's just this special presence of God in their life. And I really appreciate getting to be with those people and interacting with them.
Amen. Folks, we'd love to hear from you. We hope you'll keep us in your prayers, and we hope that you'll help us as we seek to provide a loving environment for children who come from crisis situations. We serve children from all over the U.S., but we're able to do that because of the generosity of our supporters. Please stand with us. Please encourage us with your prayers and with your gifts, and know that we're happy to pray for you and with you, and to seek to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. We'll appreciate hearing from you. Thank you to those of you who've written and to those of you who've called. And know that we are very grateful that you're there. And folks, if you know somebody else who could benefit from this ministry, why don't you encourage them to get in touch? God bless you. Have a great weekend. And be sure to celebrate Valentine's Day by showing the love of Jesus to those closest to you.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. We've mentioned before on this broadcast the role that our mentors fill here at Wares Valley Ranch. Each year, we provide up to 8 college-age students or recent graduates with an internship opportunity where they're able to live in one of the 4 homes for children and be actively involved as instruments in the Lord's hands. In order to help provide clarity to God's potential calling on your life, please consider serving Him as a residential mentor. We invite you to join us for our 3rd Prospective Mentor Mountain Retreat this April 3rd through 5th. During the retreat, you'll have the opportunity to see our beautiful campus here in the Smokies, learn about the residential mentor role, meet our staff and students, and get a glimpse into our intentional Christian community. For more information, please email employment@wvr.org with the keywords mentor retreat, and you can find out how you can register for this cost-free event.